The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold on his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whoever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there, not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind him hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you know or not, but I did something that I didn't do earlier this morning, so I've seemed to have got some courage in the meantime. And by that I mean, in the Gospel this morning, in the book from which I just read, there's a longer version of the Gospel and a shorter version of the Gospel. And on this Sunday, most priests read the shorter version. And does anybody know why? It's a very difficult gospel to cope with. Anybody? No? Well, they read the shorter version of the gospel and leave out the last 10 lines where it says there was somebody there without a wedding garment, everybody having been invited to the wedding. Then some poor person, somebody was in there without the proper clothes, and he was cast out into the exterior darkness. And most people can't figure out how that got put in there. And it's almost certain it wasn't put in by Matthew, but it was put in by somebody else later on. We're going to try and cope with that this morning. Now, I don't know where this is going to, but I put I've made things difficult for myself, but we can cope with that, and hopefully we'll deal with that. First of all, to preface what we're going to think about, you got to remember that when you listen to the words of Jesus in the gospel, it's always in the now, it's always in the present. So when one goes back explaining what Jesus meant 2,000 years ago, that's not being absolutely practical. You got to come right up to the present day and come up to what is that gospel saying to us here this morning on the 15th of, what month is it? Yeah, on the 15th of October 2017. Well, you go back to Isaiah, and he's talking there about the banquet of food, the banquet of life. And then you come on to the responsorial psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall fear. Even though I walk in the valley of death, even though I'm up to my eyes in trouble, the Lord is at my side. But we don't hear those words very often. We might hear them, but there's a difference between hearing and listening and taking it into our hearts. And then we go on to St. Paul in the letter to the Philippians. And when he wrote this letter, he was in jail. He was going through a very difficult time. And Paul is saying in the letter to the Philippians, sometimes things are good and sometimes things are bad, but I take whatever comes. And there's, I think, the key, or at least the key that I'm going to use in interpreting what we just read in the gospel this morning. And then we'll deal with the non-inclusive bit. So we're told the king is God, and he calls everybody to the banquet of life. He calls everybody to the banquet of life. Now that's a very important thing to say. So I want you for a few moments to look. How do you deal with life? How do you cope with life? Now, we live, and we're no different from the way people had to live 40, 50 years ago. We live, I suppose, in very troubled times. We hear of fires, for example, the fires in California. We hear of earthquakes. Somebody was asking me this morning, am I prepared for an earthquake? Do I have an earthquake case? It never crosses my mind, because I should, but I don't. So if there's an earthquake in the morning, it'll be probably won't see me again. And we hear of hurricanes and floods and all kinds of disaster. Then we hear of wars and rumors of war and talking about war and threatening people. We hear all those kind of things and we think, what's happening? Now, how do you cope with that? Some people turn, bury their head in the sand, don't want to know. Don't want to know anything bad, don't want to hear any bad news. That's not living in the real world. That's not really living. You face up to whatever you have to deal with. And things don't always go smoothly. They don't always go smoothly. It's like I came across a little story. There was a man and he borrowed a lot of money because he wanted to open a new store. And he was very worried about all the money he had in borrowed and hoping everything would go successfully. So his friends got together when he moved into his new store, and they got him a big basket of beautiful flowers, and they sent him flowers to give him some encouragement, which was very nice and kind of them. But when he read the card that went with the flowers, it said, "Rest in peace." But needless to say, he was pretty upset about that. So the florist called him up and said, "I'm dreadfully sorry about I'm sending you the wrong flowers," he said, "and I apologize, and I will send you some new flowers." But she said, "Look at it this way. There's a funeral taking place somewhere at the moment, and they have all these beautiful flowers, and on the card is, 'Congratulations on your new location.'" So you know, life doesn't always go smoothly, huh? It doesn't always go smoothly. And that's what the gospel is really about. Jesus came to tell us, life in the here and now, we're always in the present. Put it another way, if you're depressed, you're living in the past. If you're anxious, you're living in the future. If you are at peace, you're living in the present. Huh? Another way of putting that, is there anybody here at the moment who's not coping with the here and now? But when you begin going to the past about something that happened, or when you begin worrying about tomorrow, that's when trouble begins. So if you're depressed, you're in the past. If you're anxious, you're in the future. But if you're at peace, you're in the present. You're in the present moment. That's very, you know, that's very, very, very true. Listen again to the words in the scripture this morning. We hear the Lord saying to Isaiah, "I will give you everything you need. I will give you everything you need." God gives us everything we need. He doesn't necessarily give us everything we want, huh? And they're different things. My wants and my needs are just totally, totally different. But I found, hello, come back. Don't worry, that's what children do. Sit down. Yeah, honestly, no, don't. She's more than welcome. And if I can't cope with her, no, please sit down. Don't be the slightest bit embarrassed. Yeah, oh no. I would hate to see, you know, if ever you come a little child, what do babies do? They cry. And that's their way of praising God, for God's sake. Yeah. I mean, did you cry when you were a baby? I bet you did. Yeah, we all did. My mother said, "I was terrible when I was a baby, and I haven't changed much since." Well, anyhow. So, where was I? I'll come back in a minute. So, in the now, yeah. Well, I was really in the now, yeah. So, we're in the now. So, if you really, you know, I was at the point where we read in the scriptures there, God gives us everything we need, and you've got to trust in that. Now, very briefly, how do we solve that last little bit of the gospel? Now, that's the difficult part. He came in, and he saw somebody not wearing a wedding garment, and they cast him out. Now, we think, if you invite everybody, why would he cast out that person? Well, by way of a little understanding, and then we look at it from a different point of view very quickly. In those days, in the time of Jesus, in that culture, when people were invited to a wedding, wedding garments were provided as you entered the hall or the banquet hall. So everybody had the same wedding garment. Now, that was a wonderful idea, because nobody then had to go out and buy a new suit. Women didn't, you know, weren't going around saying, "I've nothing to wear." They were provided with something to wear. So, and everybody was the same. So nobody was saying, "Oh, look at her." Or you weren't in danger of, you know, clashing with somebody else. So everybody was provided with a wedding garment. This man, how I see it, was somebody who was there he was taking the food, but he wasn't prepared to make an effort or put any effort into life. So he thought life was to give, not for him to put something into life. He was a person who, for example, thought, life is all about me, whereas I should be all about life. Life is not all about me. Now, when you realize that, then I am about life. That's a good attitude to have. Life is not all about me. I am about life. And a lot of people today need to understand that. They need to become aware of that. Maybe pay more attention to people. Put more into life. Be prepared to give people some of your time. Came across a little thing during the week, if I can remember it. You know, I often feel like saying to a lot of people today, will you put away your phone? Did you ever feel like that? Well, put away your phone when people are talking to you, and listen to them. In fact, there is an app for that. It's called respect. You know, listen to people. We need to give time. And when you shake hands with somebody, look at the person in the eye. Don't give them that's what we need to do. And that's what Jesus is talking about in the gospel this morning. There's another aspect which I'm not going to go into because I haven't got time. Well, I do. Just for a minute. Coming back to the inclusivity bit and that person being cast out who wasn't wearing the proper garment. That's the only bit sometimes that I feel the church listened to. Does that make sense? That's the only bit the church seems to listen to. Oh, you're divorced, so you're lesbian, you're gay, whatever, you're the wrong color, you're the wrong religion, you're the wrong. Doesn't that fit in with that last bit of the gospel? And that's very often the only bit, certainly in the past, maybe it's improving a little bit today, but that's the only bit that the church listened to in the past. That's very, very true. And I know many, many good people, really good people, who felt rejected, unwelcomed, because their marriage had failed. Very often through no fault of their own, because they had a different sexual orientation. Very often, that's not their fault, because they had some addiction. Because they were maybe alcoholic. People, none of us are perfect. And we mustn't judge. And that fits into the gospel too. So I leave it like that. Don't know whether I solved that problem or not, but I tried.